This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwolick, filling in for John Hockenberry today. We thank you so much for listening. National security and immigration are President Trump's focus this week. At the Department of Homeland Security Wednesday, he reiterated his campaign promise to act immediately through executive action. At DHS, he stated that his order
ends the policy of catch and release at the border, requires other countries to take back their criminals. They will take them back. Cracks down on sanctuary cities.
And of course, start that wall, the promised border wall with Mexico. The president also wants to hire 5,000 more Border Patrol officers. And despite the fanfare of these announcements, he's going to need Congress to go along to get most of these policies enacted. But today, Donald Trump wields his pen and his megaphone in a far more direct way, issuing an executive order blocking refugees fleeing war and persecution from entering the United States for 4 months and banning refugees from Syria entirely. In total, the order cuts the number of refugees allowed in the U.S. from 110,000 down to 50,000. And in addition, another order banning anyone from coming to the United States from Iraq, Syria, Iran, Sudan, Libya, Somalia, or Yemen. Now, orders like these can seem like political abstractions, and there are politics involved, to be sure, but they're not abstract for many people hoping to come to the United States or people living here now.
My name is Ala Majid. I was born and raised in Iraq. I am a U.S. citizen from New York City.
Ala fled persecution in Iraq and came to the U.S. as a refugee. And today she's working to help other refugees escape, like she did, and to bring their families with them, something that took Ala a long time to do.
In Iraq, I worked as a journalist and a translator from 2003 until 2005. And then I had to flee the country, leaving my family, including my two children, behind. Went to Jordan. I was in Jordan for a year and a half before I was able to come to the U.S. in 2007. In 2009, I was able to bring my two children to join me, so I saw them for the first time in 4 years, and I was so grateful that I was able to bring them to be and live in safety in America. In 2010, I decided it was time for me to try and help my family who were being persecuted in Iraq to try and help them apply for resettlement in the U.S. So I started the process in 2010 and was only able to help them actually be in America at the end of 2015. That's when they arrived in the U.S. It was in 2015. In the meantime, my father was sick with cancer, and he wasn't getting the right treatment in Iraq. I had missed them. It had been years since I left Iraq, and I really wanted him to be in America to get the right treatment. He died in 2014. So that means that it took my family actually 5 years to get to the U.S. However, my nephews, my two nephews, who are the children of my sister, she wasn't able to bring her two children. So they are in Iraq right now. And when I heard of the executive order in the past couple of days, it's just like it really tore my heart apart, because I thought, you know, my nephews, they are 5 and 6 years old, and they really should be in safety and they should be with their mother. But we don't really know what this will mean for the application to bring my two nephews to the U.S. All I know is that my sister hasn't asked me yet, and I really don't know what I will tell her.
Ala says she wants the same opportunity for others that she had when she came to this country.
I myself was born and raised as a Muslim, but I go to church on Sundays. I have a giant, really nice Christmas tree every year for the whole month of December. I get scared from terrorists. I will defend my country, America, in any way possible. I will definitely report any suspicious actions that I see or hear of. On the other hand, I myself, I'm a very hard worker. I've never asked for any government assistance in the U.S. I pay my mortgage on time every month, pay my taxes. I work really hard. I volunteer. This is exactly, in my opinion, what America is about. It was already since the beginning built on people who fled different types of persecutions, including religious persecution. And so it is, you know, the place where everyone looks for, and I would love for everyone in this world who is qualified and being persecuted for any reason to be able to come to a place like America and enjoy what I am enjoying and just be part of building this great country.
That was Alaa Majeed sharing her story with us. She's a former Iraqi journalist and translator who fled Iraq in 2005 and came to the U.S. in 2007. With me now here in the studio is Mark Doss. He's well acquainted with stories like Alaa's, as well as those that don't have such a happy ending. Mark Doss is supervising attorney at the International Refugee Assistance Project at the Urban Justice Center. And also on the line is Trita Parsi, founder and president of the National Iranian American Council. He's also author of Losing an Enemy, Obama, Iran, and the Triumph of Diplomacy. Mark, let me start with you because you can answer some of the lawyer questions about these executive orders. What do they say as it relates to the law? Who can come now and who can't?
So this proposed executive order is a temporary suspension of the U.S. refugee admissions program. So what it's saying is for the next 120 days, no refugees can come to the United States. It's additionally preventing certain immigrant and non-immigrant visa holders from a host of countries from entering the United States for the next 30 days.
And what have your clients, the people who you represent, refugees and would-be refugees, been saying to you over the last day? What are you hearing?
I've been getting frantic calls. This is utterly devastating for them. These are individuals who have gone through unimaginable persecution, unimaginable trauma, who have been waiting for years through the security check process, multiple interviews, biometrics, everything to come to the United States. Some of them with travel dates next week and are now not going to be allowed into the country. This was their lifeline.
And what will some of those people do? Stay in limbo, stay in their countries?
Many of them have no options, besides trying to take a boat. I mean, this is why we see such a huge migration crisis to Europe, because there are limited resettlement slots. Now when the United States shuts down its resettlement program, there are no other options.
I want to bring in now Trita Parsi, who's founder and president of the National Iranian American Council, also author of Losing an Enemy, Obama, Iran, and the Triumph of Diplomacy. Trita Parsi, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you're an expert on the visa program as well, and visitors, travelers from Iran as well as six other countries have been banned temporarily under the executive order from President Trump. Is there a security risk in the visa program more broadly? Do you see any merit to slowing down or stopping here, even temporarily?
Well, the principle that the new executive order is based on is the idea that you actually can add security by imposing a blanket ban based on national origin. Now, if we just for a second assume that that's a valid principle, I don't, but let's assume it is, then it's still extremely ineffective and frankly counterproductive, because none of the major terrorist attacks in the United States since 9/11 have been committed by citizens or visa holders from these countries that have now been included.
So we should reiterate, Mark Doss, two groups of people in these executive orders, refugees and then visa holders from these seven countries that were designated. Give us a sense of who these refugees are and what types of situations are they facing? Because many Americans don't have a clear sense of what it means to be a refugee now.
Absolutely. We have the greatest refugee crisis since World War II, where we have over 60 million people who have been forcibly displaced from their homes. And these are people who have not chosen to leave their homes. These are people who have been persecuted for their race, their religion, their political opinion, for a whole host of reasons. And they have been facing unimaginable, devastating trauma and persecution. People who have been raped, have lost their loved ones. The refugee program allows people to start over, start a new life. And to shut it down is extremely irresponsible. It's devastating on their lives and puts that many more people in active danger.
Trita, what's the message that you hear here at home in the United States. Islamophobia is a fact of life in this country. In many ways, it was amplified during the election. We all know that. What is the tacit message here in this policy? I mean, on the one hand, it's not a Muslim ban legally, technically, because countries have been identified, not people. But is that the message that you're hearing?
Well, in reality, it ends up being a Muslim ban because all of these countries are majority Muslim countries. And this is just adding further to an atmosphere with Islamophobia that has been not only largely created, but also tremendously fueled ever since the Republican primaries, in which a lot of these rather bigoted views got center stage in the American discourse.
And so then what's next for you, Trita Parsi? There are 4 years in this presidency, of course, and executive orders. The president has the power to issue them when it comes to immigration. What's next for you?
Well, we're working in a coalition of organizations that are going to be challenging this, and we're going to mount a congressional challenge to this as well, and propose much better ideas of how security can be enhanced without creating these type of divisions and actually targeting the real problem instead of creating an atmosphere of fear and using that to pass new immigration laws that actually make no sense.
Mark Doss, you have to leave here today. You're going to go to your office. I know you're going to get on your phone and on your email to a lot of worried people, probably overseas, waiting to come here. What are you going to tell them?
We're going to absolutely be fighting for them. We're going to be reassuring them. We're going to be looking for other options, other countries that might be friendlier and accepting of refugees and welcoming refugees.
What about that? What are the legal options or the rerouting options for people right now?
Many people don't understand, but the refugee process is not just someone just choosing to fly over to the United States. It is years of interviews and security checks, and the first layer of that process is being determined by the United Nations Refugee Agency that you are indeed a refugee. And the United Nations can refer refugees for different resettlement countries. So the U.S. takes the most number of refugees, but there are a handful of other countries that accept refugees, such as Canada, Australia, countries in Europe. And so we'll be looking into options for those countries to take our clients.
Mark Doss is supervising attorney at the International Refugee Assistance Project at the Urban Justice Center. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
And Trita Parsi, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Trita Parsi is founder and president of the National Iranian American Council. He's also author of Losing an Enemy, Obama, Iran, and the Triumph of Diplomacy.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.